Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Starting a new section this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. Remember that we're in these first three chapters, the inspiration of the believers in Thessalonica. Chapter 1 was the testimony of the Thessalonians, how they received the word in the midst of hardship and difficulty. And that's how Paul knew that they were saved, because in the midst of affliction, they didn't fall away. In chapter 2, the testimony of Paul's we're in today. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, on account of this, he's making reference to everything that he has told us so far in chapter 2. In verses 1 and 2, he talked about the commission of Paul. He says, for you yourselves know, brothers, our entrance to you, that it has not become empty, as for nothing, but also having suffered before and having been insulted, according as you know in Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak the gospel of God to you in much agony. The word conflict is the word agon, where we get our word agony from. He says, you know what happened when we went to Philippi before we came here. We suffered great affliction, great agony, but we came here and kept preaching. We didn't quit because of the difficulty. That shows Paul's commission. Then Paul's commitment, verse 3, for our encouragement was not out of error, neither of uncleanness, that is, impure motives, nor in deceit, but according as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. In this way we speak, not as pleasing to men, but to God, the one proving our hearts. The word approved and the word proving is the same Greek word. We have been approved by God. That is, we have been put to the test. It's a word used for testing of metals, for their purity. So Paul says, we've been tested by God. And we were bold at the same time to speak the gospel of God in much agony. But we did it in pleasing to men, not pleasing to men, but to God, the one proving our hearts. So Paul says, I was proved, put to the test by God in Philippi, who proves all of our hearts. He puts all of us through the test, puts all of us in situations where if Christ was not real, we would just quit, just give up, leave it behind, pick up something else. The conduct of Paul in verses 5 and 6, for neither at any time did we become in a word of flattery, according as you know, nor in pretense of covetousness, that is, desiring other men's things, God is witness, nor seeking glory from men, neither from you nor from others, being able to be in wait as apostles of Christ, that is, that's the literal translation, That means pushing our weight around as apostles of Christ. We didn't do that either. We didn't push our status around. We didn't try to flatter people. We didn't try to covet people's things. We didn't want your possessions. We didn't want to seek glory from men. And we didn't want to push our weight around. But we became gentle. The care of Paul as a mother. But we became gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother might warm her own children. And so he's talking about the gentleness that is expressed in a nursing mother taking care of her children. In this way, longing for you, and the word longing is another word having to do with parenting, parents longing for their children. We are pleased to give to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls. On account of that, you have become beloved to us. So he's talking about parenting here. We didn't come in and just preach and teach. It was more than that. It was family. We nursed you like in the gentleness of a mother nursing her child, and we longed for you as my own children. For brothers, you remember our labor and toil, working night and day, for not to burden any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. So he says, just like a parent would go out and work to support their kids. Paul didn't come into town saying, you need to support me. That's for the more mature people. But these new babes in Christ, he worked during the daytime and he taught at nighttime in people's homes and in the temple there in Thessalonica, so that they would not have to stumble over the fact of support and the giving of money, just like a parent would. I gave you the example last week of my own mother, who raised me as a single mom. She worked during the day as an optometrist receptionist. They would come home and she'd cook dinner, and then she'd go off to her night job working on the switchboard operator. And even though I was without a home life per se, the sacrifice that she made to make sure that I had a nice place to live, make sure that I had all the necessities that I needed for a young person. Sacrifice, the sacrifice that parents make for children. He says, remember, I sacrificed for you night and day so I wouldn't be a burden to you, so that money's not an issue. Also, the care of Paul as a father. You and God are witnesses. How each one of you, as a father to his own children, encouraging you and consoling you and testifying to you, testifying for you to walk worthily of God, the one calling you into his own kingdom and glory. So encouraging you like a father, consoling you, comforting you, and testifying to you to walk worthily of God. The word worthily means balanced. It's the name of the balance scales down in the marketplace. And how they would find the value of something is they would put something, the object you wanted to buy, on one side of the balances. And you would put money on the other side until the balances were equal. When the balances were equal, that's what the object was worth. It's worth by its weight. So he says, to walk worthily of God. If you belong to the Lord, walk a walk that's worthy of that, equal to that. That's what I testify to you and encourage you as a father. But then we have verses 13 through 16 for today. The confirmation of salvation. On account of this also. So in addition to everything I just told you here in this chapter, we ourselves give thanks to God without ceasing. This is the second time that he's giving thanks to God. Back in chapter 1, verse 2 is the first time he said, we give thanks. He's now giving thanks again without ceasing. It doesn't mean that he never stops. It means that it doesn't fade out. He's always thankful for them. Because having received the word of hearing of God from us, notice the literal translation, I kept it in the literal. Because having received the word of hearing of God from us, you accepted it not as a word of men, but according as it is truly the word of God. It is called the word of hearing. Both here and in Hebrews 4:2 that we'll take in a moment. So he's actually tagging and describing and modifying the word of God. It is the word of hearing. He has ordained it to be that way as far as our approach to the word. It's the word of hearing. Believers are to gather together and hear the word of God. It is God's spirit by faith and persuasion among the believers as God's word is heard. Paul also said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God's ordained plan that people hear his word taught and preached. And that in hearing, faith would come. There's another element in there. The faith would come and minister to the hearts of the people. That's what the ministry is, faith. Faith would come. We can also listen to the word of God and not hear it. We can audibly listen to the word of God being taught and preached and still not hear it. That's what happened back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Without faith, hearing God's word is just listening. But Hebrews 4, 2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. To them being the Jews wandering in the wilderness. But the word which they heard, interesting, the literal translation is the same setup as in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. But the word of hearing, did not profit them, it not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So they heard it, they listened, they audibly heard the gospel being preached, but they did not have a heart for the Lord. There was no ministry there for them. It has to be faith and the word. But it is God's ordained way to preach the word and teach the word. Even the blessing the scriptures on the public reading and teaching of scriptures. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it said, blessed is the one who reads and the ones who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So there's a blessing pronounced upon the person who reads. Interesting, the word reads in Revelation 1:3 means public reading of Scripture. Not just sit down on your own and read it, but the person who reads the Scriptures publicly. And those who hear the words are blessed. So we have to understand that it's not just listening to the scriptures or listening to Bible studies or listening to the Bible. Some of the false ministries that are out there, some of the false teachings that are out there, all use the scriptures. It doesn't mean that the scriptures are blessed or that it's by faith. It's just scripture with no faith, no ministry of God's Spirit there. So as we study the scripture, we understand it is God's design plan for his people to hear the word. His Spirit takes his word and persuades and influences and ministers to his people through the hearing of the word. That is his design. That is the way God has designed it. The way it is designed to be. So we're giving thanks because having received the word of hearing of God from us, you accepted it not as a word of men, but according as it truly is the word of God. So you accepted it, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, even though men were the vessels. Human beings were the vessels. It came from us. But you accepted it, welcomed it for what it is. That is the word of God, which also is being energized in you. Notice the word work effectively. Is the word energized. Energeo is the Greek word. Which also is being energized in you, comma, the ones believing. Two things in as far as the technical language about this. The word energized is in the present tense verb form, which means it's constantly energizing. And not just anybody, but it's to the ones who are believing. It's interesting the word believing is a present participle. Again, showing continuous action. It's not that people were once believed and now they do, or once they did believe and now they don't. You cannot believe and not believe. Once you've been born of the Spirit of God, you belong to Christ. It's for forever. It's for eternity. So the people who are being energized are the believers. They're energized from the word of God, the word of hearing, so that when they hear the word, the Holy Spirit takes that and energizes it and by faith applies it to people's lives. But everyone is energized by some influence. Every person is energized by some influence. Even non-believers are energized by a spiritual influence. It's just not Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul said, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So he's talking to believers now. "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works," and there's our word energy again, "the spirit that now energizes in the sons of the disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath just as the others." So before we were saved, before Christ came to live within, before we were born of the Spirit of God, we were energized by Satan to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's what he does. He appeals to the flesh and whatever a person's mind wants. Satan energizes the person to go after it, to go for it. Even the ideas itself, the lusts of the flesh. So once a person is saved, then we're energized by Christ. He energizes us through the hearing of his word. That's what the text tells us. The word of God is that powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and energizing." There's our word again. "And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and motivations of the heart." The word of God goes so deep, it brings conviction. It's a critic, a discerner. It's a word for critic of the thoughts and motivations of the heart. Just by being around the word, it's a dangerous thing to be around the word because it convicts. Many people look for places where there's no conviction, where you feel good when you leave. But there are times for that. But God has a purpose for sending his word. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So God's word will always accomplish its purpose for sinning. The importance of hearing the word for spiritual growth. It's important to understand. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, it talks about the writer of Hebrews ministering to the Jewish people about the priesthood of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, he was explaining the priesthood of Melchizedek to them, but he realized that while he was teaching them, they didn't understand. They were dull of hearing. Of whom, that is Melchizedek, Hebrews 5, verse 11, of whom Melchizedek we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. There's our word become. Very important. They were not dull of hearing before. They had become dull of hearing. Because we'll see in a moment, because they've left off from the word. Hearing the word exercises the senses. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food." And again, here's, you have become in a need. You used to be feeding on solid food, but now you're feeding on milk because you've become dull of hearing. You've left off from the word. "For everyone who partakes of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are mature, that is, those who by reason of use," that is the scriptures, "by reason of use of the word of God, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The word exercise is the word gymnazo, where we get a word gymnasium from. That's in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. So, those who are mature feed on solid food, not milk. They are mature because of the use. They have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. So, by hearing the word of God, A person becomes sensitive to spiritual things, especially to the things of Christ. Interesting that they use the scriptures use athletic terms throughout the scriptures to be an example of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. It's not measured by numbers of years that one is a Christian. It's measured by, in fact, the word mature and some of these other texts make reference to plant growth, the maturity of a plant and its growth and its development. So it's making reference to maturity based on development. You can know the Lord for 10, 20, 30 years and become able to eat solid food, able to understand what the Scripture says, be very solid in respect to the Scriptures, but then leave off from the Word. You leave off from the Word, you become dull of hearing, you lapse back into babehood, which is a tragic thing to have happen. So that's the importance of hearing the Word of God. It's called the Word of Hearing of God. He goes on to say in verse 14 of our text, "For brothers, you yourselves became imitators of the assemblies of God, the ones being in Judea in Christ Jesus, because you yourself also suffered these things by your own countrymen, according as they did also by the Jews." So you became. Whenever he uses that phrase, became, he's making reference to something that they were not normally, but they became that by the Spirit of God. "You yourselves became imitators of the assemblies of God." Assemblies is the literal translation for the word church, the churches of God. Imitators, we've studied this word before. Comes from the word mimetai, where we get our English word mimic or mime from. And it's used for the actors who would act out plays on stage in front of people. And they'd put on costumes and they'd put on masks. And they would act it out without speaking a word. Sometimes there would be multiple actors. Sometimes one actor would play all the roles, all the parts. He'd go behind the screen, put a different mask on, and come out and do a different expression. And that's what this word imitator means. Expression. You have become the expression of all the churches of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Become mimics, imitators of me, as I also am of Christ." So let the expression of my life be the same as the expression of Christ in your life. I think it's kind of interesting, and most people think the Apostle Paul is way up there in status. He's talking about things we can never become or never be like. But the reality of it is, Paul is always sharing what is the normal Christian life. He presents himself as living the normal Christian life, which other people are to mimic, are to allow the expression of Christ in them to be the same as the expression of Christ in Paul. Paul had a different ministry. He was an apostle and wrote most of the New Testament. But he's ministering to people who have the same Jesus Christ in them as in himself. And he says, "You see the expression of Christ in me? Let that be the expression of Christ in you. But you yourselves became imitators of the assemblies of God, the ones being in Judea in Christ Jesus, because you yourselves also suffered these things by your own countrymen, according as they did also by the Jews. So these are the ones being in Judea, the churches that are in Judea. That's a geographical location, physical location, where the Jews are. And they who are in Christ Jesus. But you suffered the same things from your own countrymen, as also they also did by the Jews. So you suffered the same suffering, just different people. It became the same expression. Same expression given to Christ by the world, the same expression given to these in Thessalonica, the same expression given to those who were believing Jews in Judea. These Jews, the ones also having killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and having persecuted us, and not pleasing to God, and are opposing to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles in order that they might be saved, to the filling up of their own sins always, and the wrath came upon them unto the end. So wrath came upon them. Interesting. I kept the literal translation in there because it's a past tense verb. It already came. It's still there. And it will be to the end upon those who persecute God's people from following Christ and from the ministry of Christ, like Paul did. Next week, we'll get more into the persecutions of Paul. I find it fascinating study, where Paul said, I know you're saved because you're suffering the same sufferings we are. So, he says you have the same expression of Christ. You have the same sufferings coming upon you. And it's all because you heard the word of hearing of God from us, and you accepted it as being the word of God, not the word of men. This word of God, which is energizing in the ones who are believing. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. Even though it's ink on page that we study from, yet by your Spirit, you make it alive and minister to the down deep in our hearts and becomes a critic of the thoughts and motivations of the heart. Bless us with the knowledge of knowing that you have designed your word to be heard, to be taught, to be read, to be spoken. And it energizes in the ones who are believing. And we just pray that you'd continue to impress upon our hearts the importance of whenever the word of God is taught, hearing, in the hearing of the people, we are there to have our senses exercised to become stronger spiritually in growth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.